Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Good morning. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be there for a little bit, and then we're going to flip over to James chapter 1. We are in week 2 of our series called Resilient, and we have been looking at what truly makes a resilient follower of Christ. What does it mean when someone is a true follower of Christ and they endure throughout difficult times? They endure throughout painful seasons. And one of the facts that we looked at last week was that a truly resilient people know that they serve a completely trustworthy God. And so that's one of the facts, one of the central truths that we want to cling to during this time. And we want to look at what the Bible says about being a resilient follower of Christ. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, we find this: rejoice in prayer, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Rejoice in hope, I should have said, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Last week, we talked about rejoicing in hope. And this week, we're looking at the idea of being patient in tribulation. In James chapter 1, starting with verse 2, we find a verse that begins a passage that, admittedly, for some people, as we read it, we are just struck at how odd it sounds. It can be a little bit disturbing when you read this passage, because James chapter 1, verse 2 begins with this phrase, "Count it all joy, my brothers." So you might think, following that phrase, "count it all joy," that something really positive is coming later. But then we find this: "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." It doesn't seem normal to say rejoice whenever you fall into, rejoice whenever you encounter, rejoice whenever you meet up with various trials. My natural response is not, here's a difficult situation, here's a trial, well, I'm going to rejoice, I'm going to show great joy in the midst of this. No, usually my response may be similar to your response. I want to complain, I want to gripe, I want to see how quickly I can remove that stress from my life, how quickly I can escape that particular trial or that particular suffering. But we find in James that God tells us that we are to rejoice in that. So today I want us to look at being a resilient follower of Christ and what does it mean to be patient in tribulation according to James chapter 1. So if you would, join me in prayer as we come before God and ask him to speak to us. God, we give you thanks for your word. And Father, we know that you want to speak to us today. We know that you want to give your truth to us in such a way that we are changed and that we are transformed. And so God, I ask that you would do just that this morning in each of our lives, in each of our hearts. I pray that you would speak very clearly to us from this short passage, and that your truth would do a work in us that only it can do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing we find as we look at this passage is that we need to trust the process in the pain. We trust the process in the pain. Look at verses 2 and 3. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." There's a process there. It's not just something that happens all of a sudden, and we're going to talk more about that in a moment. But this is a process of pain, and we need to trust the process in the midst of our pain. God has a particular end that he is working. And this pain, this trial, this suffering we may be undergoing, and the pain or pressure we may be under, that is producing steadfastness in our life. It's producing endurance. It's producing patience. And so therefore, we can rejoice. We rejoice at the process God is working. You look in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. We find that same word. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, there's the word again, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. It's very similar to the passage found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 1 says this, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result," listen to the result, "in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Our faith is more precious than gold. Our faith is more important than any sort of worldly riches and worldly treasures. And God puts our faith to the test. And that testing of our faith produces patience, produces endurance, allows us to stay up under that pressure, recognizing that God has a process that he's working, and we can rejoice in that process. Oftentimes, we don't rejoice in the process because we don't look beyond the pain to what the purpose of the pain is. Once you start looking at the purpose of the pain, it doesn't mean that the pain is all removed and you no longer feel the pain. It doesn't mean the suffering is eliminated all at once. It means that we recognize the purpose in the pain, and we see past the immediacy of the pain, and we see to the ultimate purpose and the good of God. Struggles will force us into a place where we really have to show what we truly believe. Do we truly believe that God has a purpose? Do we truly believe that God has a plan? Do we truly believe that God is working that plan and purpose for our good and for his glory? We have to trust the process in our pain. Every struggle that we have, every painful moment, every difficult time is entrusted to us by God. And I don't use that word lightly. It is entrusted to us by God. It's entrusted to us by God to transform us in the likeness of Christ so that we might know God even better and so that we will love him more deeply. Every struggle that we have, even in the midst of this coronavirus struggle, and we say, well, that can't be of God. And there's lots of arguments going around online and among churches. Who's to blame? Is it this? Is it that? Ultimately, the bottom line is God will use it in the lives of his people, and he will use it to draw us closer to him, to give us a better understanding of his mercy, his grace, his goodness, to help us understand his trustworthiness and that we can rely upon him completely, and to ultimately transform us into the likeness of Christ. In other words, our struggle is strategic. God has a purpose behind every struggle. And so we trust God in the midst of that process. Are you willing to say that to God today? No matter what the struggle is you may be facing, are you willing to say, God, I'm going to trust you in this struggle because you have entrusted this struggle to me. And so I am going to choose to rejoice. Not in this moment, not because of this pain, but because of your purpose in the pain, that you have a process that you are working in me. And I'm meeting this trial knowing that the testing of my faith produces steadfastness. It produces endurance. The second thing we find is that we need to let the pressure work fully. Now, that may be frightening for some of us to really say that, but we are to let the pressure work fully if we are going to be resilient followers of Christ. Look at verse 4. It's a continuation of this process. And let steadfastness have its full effect. Some translations say, and let patience have its perfect work. But let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That you may be mature, that you may be complete, that you may be fully equipped. But we need to let that steadfastness, that endurance, work to the full effect. We don't want something to be done halfway. If you're making something, or you're baking something, or you're producing something, you can't stop halfway through the process and say, well, that's good enough. Well, no, if you cut the time short in any sort of process, you will be lacking. You won't have a completed full result. And so we need to let the pressure work fully. Let steadfastness have its full effect. Why can we allow steadfastness and that endurance through that pain to have that full effect? Because again, we are looking beyond the temporary to the eternal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul writes, "For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Paul contrasts the struggles of this world. He refers to them as light, momentary afflictions. They're light in the grand scheme of it. In the grand scheme of eternity, they are momentary afflictions. And then he contrasts that with what is being worked in us. What does he say? An eternal weight of glory. These are light, and they're passing. They're temporary. They are afflictions. He doesn't make any sort of, have any sort of misconceptions about that. They are true afflictions. But at the same time, they're working in us an eternal weight of glory. And so we can look at endurance, and we can allow that pressure to do its full work in us, because we recognize that God is working in us an eternal weight of glory. The problem with this is basically two or threefold, you can say. Because the world, the flesh, and Satan all tell us in the midst of our struggles, you need to get out from under that struggle absolutely as quickly as you can. Now, we don't need to go looking for pain. We don't need to go looking for struggles. But at the same time, when we find ourselves in those struggles, when we find ourselves in that pain, if we can, in a godly way, and in a timing allowed by God, if we can see those things removed, then we should seek to do that. But have you ever been in one of those seasons where you pray to God, God, please remove this. God, just get me out of this situation. God, in this situation. And in the midst of it, God does not allow that. God takes you through that. And those are the seasons where God is building that endurance. He is building that steadfastness. He is working on our character. And nothing else works quite as well as pain. But Satan and the world and our flesh wants to offer a shortcut. There are no shortcuts to sanctification. There are no elevators on Mount Everest. This is the way that God works. He works in that pain. He works in that affliction. He works in that struggle. And as he works in us in that way, he transforms us into the likeness of Christ, and that takes time. We want to rush it. We want to get out from under it. But it takes time to be transformed. I've noticed here lately, among a lot of people who claim the name of Christ, and I'm not saying they aren't Christians when I say that, but I'm saying a lot of people who say, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm a follower of God, many of them have been praying one central prayer, and I've seen it online a lot, I've heard people say it, And the one focus that it seems that many of them have is, let's just pray, God, end this situation quickly. And I've been praying that as well. But sometimes I've been hearing that more often. Very few people that I've heard are praying, God, use this struggle to transform me. Use this struggle to change me. And I wonder sometimes in this season that if sometimes we aren't praying, God, remove this quickly, but we're not even thinking about, God, change me in the middle of this. It would be a shame if we came out on the other side of this season that we're going through in our nation. It would be a terrible shame to come out of the other side and we looked exactly the same way as we did when we went in. God wants to use this to transform us. And if we're just waiting to, I just want everything to be back to normal. Let's not pray that. Let's pray that God transforms us through this. And let's pray that God ends this and stops this at exactly the right moment he chooses to. Let's cry out for him to do that. Absolutely. But let's allow it to have its full work. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, we find that Malachi writes that God will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And it's interesting that Malachi says God will sit as a refiner of refiner and purifier of silver. He will sit. Someone who is sitting is taking their time. Someone who is sitting is pretty much in control of that situation as a refiner. It doesn't mean that person's lazy. It doesn't mean that person doesn't care. It means that person who is that refiner knows it takes time. And to not be in any hurry and wait for the purification and the refining process to be complete. God sits as a refiner and a purifier of silver in all of our struggles. He sits. He waits. He's infinitely patient. I heard one story one time of an old pastor who was scrambling about his office and just in an almost panic, and someone had asked him, they said, what's the problem? What's the issue? He said, the problem is I'm in a hurry and God's not. And I think that's the problem that many of us have in our lives. We are in a tremendous hurry and God's not. God just sits as a refiner and a purifier of silver. We allow him to do that in your life. We allow him to do that in such a way that he takes his time and you don't try to rush him. And you take, maybe through this season, maybe this is a time where you can be quiet and still before God and say, God, what is it in me that you need to change? What is it in me that you want to transform? Now, I know sometimes we get in one of those still situations and we can say, oh, I'm thinking of all these things that so-and-so should do, or my spouse should do, or my children should do, or my coworkers should do. And I'm thinking of all these things that God needs to do in their lives. First and foremost, let's ask God what God wants to do in us and allow him to transform us into the likeness of his son. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 10, Paul writes, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. James says that we are to rejoice. Paul says, I'm content. I'll be still. I will rest in these difficult situations. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because when I am at my weakest, that is where I am depending the most upon God. Are you willing to admit that? Are you willing to say that? God, I need your strength. God, I need your endurance. God, I want to depend upon you fully in the midst of this. The final thing we find is in verse 5. Not only are we to trust the process in the pain, we are to let the pressure work fully, but we are to pray for the wisdom of God. Now, we're going to talk more about that next week. We talk about being constant in prayer, the third part of Romans 12:12, that verse, as we finish up the series on being resilient. But James says that we are to pray. Look at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Notice it says, if anybody lacks wisdom. And it's interesting to understand or to know that whenever the Bible speaks of wisdom, it is talking about skillful living, how to live in a skillful way. And what does that mean, to live with skill? It means to live in a biblical fashion, to live according to the Word of God. And so we find that James says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And then we find the reason that we can ask for wisdom in this context, in the midst of trials, who gives generously to all without reproach. God is never going to scold you for asking him for wisdom. Many times here at East Haven, people will ask me, Pastor Dustin, how can I pray for you? And I always say one thing. If I say nothing else, I have numerous things to ask for, but I always ask, pray that God will grant me wisdom. Pray that God will show me how to live with skill, to live in a biblical way, and to lead in a biblical way. We are to pray for wisdom from God in the midst of trials. If we're going to be resilient, we have to be praying. If we're going to be resilient, we need to depend upon God. We've been sending out every day for the last couple of weeks or so, we've been sending out a daily devotional prayer guide. And I've been thinking about that, and we were going to do it for 30 days. And if we're back together within 30 days, which we may or may not be, but if we are, then we'll just go 30 days. And if it goes beyond that, it's just going to go beyond 30 days, and we'll just send out a devotional prayer guide every day until we're back together, no matter how long that takes. I've heard from a lot of you that you've said, that's just really helped me. That's helped me with just sort of focus my thoughts and my prayer. And so we're going to continue to pray until that time comes that we're back together, be it 30 days or be it longer. We're just going to continue to pray together as a church. But we are to ask God for wisdom in the midst of our trials. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, we find this: for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. We need to allow the pressure that we're feeling to drive us to prayer. It should not be, well, I've exhausted all my other efforts. I've exhausted all the other avenues, and so now I will pray. No. Prayer should be our first priority. So we pray to God and we seek wisdom in how to navigate life with skill. And that doesn't just mean in the midst of a trial. That doesn't mean just in the midst of affliction. We are to depend upon God in all ways, at all times. And we can ask him and he will answer. We ask him and he gives. This is the heart of what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. In verse 7, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He says, if you ask and you seek and you knock, if you ask, you will get an answer. If you seek, you're going to find. If you knock, it will be open. And the tense of that verb means to continue. Continue to ask and it will be given. Continue to seek and you will find. Continue to knock and it will be open. There's a persistence in prayer in the midst of the pressure. And we're to continually pray again and again and ask God. How long are we to pray? I've had people ask sometimes, how long should I continue to pray for something even though I have not received an answer from God? You keep praying as long as you believe it is God's will. And either God will show you that's not his will, or God will affirm it is, and you can continue to pray. I've had people say, well, you know, I've prayed for a long time and this didn't happen and that didn't happen and the door closed completely on that and I know it's closed and it's over. And they will say, I guess God didn't answer. Well, sometimes God's answer is no. No is an answer. You know, sometimes God says, wait, and that's an answer. Sometimes he says, yes, and we rejoice in that. But we should also rejoice just as much in God's no's, because they are just as much out of his goodness and his graciousness and his mercy and his wisdom, for that matter. So we are to ask for that wisdom. We trust the process in the pain. We let the pressure work fully, and we ask for wisdom from God. In the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, there's a group of people that are coming in, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and they are coming in to judge the nation. They are coming in as oppressors that God is allowing. And we find these words in Habakkuk chapter 3, starting with verse 17. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flocks be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. We can go through that, and you can add in there whatever it is that you need to add for this season in your life. We probably don't look to our fig trees or our olives, but it can be said, though the shelves be bare, though my job is in jeopardy, though I am being driven near insane by being with my family locked in the house, whatever it is that you add in there, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. We can rejoice in the midst of the trials because we understand that there is a greater plan and a greater purpose that God is working in those. Nowhere is that seen more clearly. Nowhere more clearly than the death of Jesus. Through his great suffering, what seemed to be the worst possible thing that could happen, God actually used that. And he used that not despite the cruelty of the cross, but because of the very cruelty of the cross. God chose to use that to bring redemption to all who would follow him, all who would believe. The cruelty of the cross reveals the severity of our sin. The very fact the cross is that cruel shows that our sin is that severe. And Jesus himself took that cross, took our place, took the wrath of God in our place as a substitute for us, so that if we follow him, if we place our faith in him, that he is who he says he is, and he has done and will do what he says that he has done and what he says he will do. And if we place our faith in him and trust him, trust his sacrifice that he took our place, if we follow him by faith, his grace meets our faith. And that free gift of salvation is offered to all who will believe. Have you done that this morning? Are you at a place where you can say, I know that I'm a follower of Christ, and I know that I have trusted my eternity to him? If you've not done that, let me encourage you, do that today. Don't let another day go by living without God. And I'm not saying do that so God can give purpose to your pain. I'm not saying do that and God's going to alleviate the difficulties. Actually, the contrary. If you become a follower of Christ, you're going to have some difficulties that you didn't have beforehand. But God will use those to work an eternal weight in us, because he is most interested in transforming us into the image of his Son. And maybe there are some of you out there right now, and you say, I am a follower of Christ, but I'm going through a really hard time. This whole season of the coronavirus has just really burdened me. I'm really weighed down. I'm really disappointed. I'm getting really depressed. I'm concerned. I'm angry. I'm confused. I'm perplexed. Even in the midst of this situation, you can rejoice because we know that God is working a process that is working in us an eternal weight of glory. And we want to give him thanks and praise for that. Join with me in prayer if you would. Lord God, as we come before you, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful that even in the midst of the most difficult of situations, even in the midst of economic turmoil, of a concern for physical safety, when we feel in some ways that we're isolated from the world as a whole, when all manner of difficulty is poured out upon our nation and upon the world, and all manner of hardships are surfacing, Father, we recognize that this is just the beginning. We recognize that this is a walk in the park compared to what you tell us in your word that one day will occur. And so, Father, I pray that you just might give us as your people, the people who follow Christ, that you would give us that endurance. You would help us to see past our struggle and see the purpose in the pain. And even if we can't see it with crystalline clarity, we will trust you with absolute confidence that you know what you're doing and that we can trust you fully and completely. And Father, forever how long you want to keep us in a time of affliction and struggle. Not only in this season, but even in our personal lives as we go through a time of difficulty. Lord God, use that to strengthen us. Help us to see that you are working a work in us to mature us and to equip us and make us complete in our following of Christ. And Father, may we always turn to you in prayer. Raise us up as a people of prayer. Father, there may be people who are in our nation, who are within the church, and they have never really, truly devoted time to you in prayer. Father, I pray that this would be the time they would do that, and after this season passes, they would continue it, and that you would grow them in the practice of prayer. Father, we pray now that you would go before us in the days to come, that you might grant us your wisdom and your understanding, so we might live with skill. And Father, I pray for anybody out there today that may need to make a decision to follow you. Father, I pray you would grant them your boldness and your strength and speak to them from your word and show them the reality of sin, but the incredible reality that Jesus Christ took our place, so that we could have eternal life with you. Thank you for that truth. And we ask now, Lord God, that you would do a work in us by your Spirit and by your word that only you can do. And we ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.